Reading 2. Hugh's Escape from Belgium. British nationals shed 3, Americans shed 5, Belgians, French. Father pointed toward the collection of corrugated sheds along the quayside. Over there, that one, painted in red, number 3. A solitary British sergeant stood at the entrance, bellowing instructions through a megaphone. He, the collie, herded us. Thankful for his guidance, we, the sheep, obeyed. The doors were rolled open on one side. A faint sea breeze fanned the sweltering August heat. Inside, Father secured a prime spot close to the opening and set to building a defensive pen using our suitcases. "Get inside and stay inside." Father turned the largest case on end. "For you, Mother, sit here." Mother perched her bottom precariously, clasping the baby. We watched the enmeshed crowd sort itself into defined family units, then, still, unnaturally silent, just as the crowd gathered for rescue had stilled earlier in the day at the Hotel Flanders. 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, 2. Fidgety, I hopped. I flapped my arms and pulled faces at Kathy Baby. She didn't laugh. I pretended stories in my head. Hopeful, I looked for the bloody battle of my favorite storybooks. But nothing. Not a ship, not a fireball, not a rocket. Fed up and innocently indifferent to the horror I was witnessing, there was nothing for me to do but huddle beside my parents and sisters. My stomach rumbled.
"Is it lunchtime yet?"
Miraculously, Mother materialized sandwiches for each of us from pockets sewn beneath her skirts, cold pork and cheese oozing tomato chutney from 2 thickly buttered slabs. I was so hungry, instead of eating just the crumb and filling as was my habit, I devoured every bit, crust and all. I looked longingly at my sisters, still slowly chewing theirs, but nothing extra came my way. The scene about me across the quay caught my eye. An already overpacked ferry beside one of the jetties listed alarmingly. Ignoring the announcement that boarding was complete and to please step away from the gangway, increasing numbers of Belgium refugees were trying to cram themselves on board. Father had hardly finished saying out loud, "Something had better be done about that situation. The ship's in danger of sinking," than the gangplank, with people still clinging onto its slope, winched upwards, and the cross-channel ferryboat pulled away from the quayside. The chaos, the screams, the slipping, the splash after splash. So temptingly close to safety, numbers of Belgians and other refugees plunged into waters and struck out swimming to reach her. Horrifically unstoppable, the ferry sliced through the swimmers, still bravely calling out and waving, still hopeful of rescue. Bows rising and falling, ploughing ahead toward the harbour's outer moles, she made for the open seas. Although Father and Mother ordered us to move further inside the shed, they couldn't shield us from the dreadful scene. The grim lottery played itself out. Too many people, too few ships. There were ships enough for us, British and Americans, we'd been assured, we'd be saved. But where were they? Would they ever come? "Patience, Hughie. There's nothing to do but wait." Mother's voice was curt. Funny. Grown-ups playing the whispering game, the game we sometimes played at home. Even Mother and Father played, muttered conversations passed from mouth to ear, mouth to ear. But from the serious, tight-lipped faces, I saw they were not having any fun. I strained to catch their whisperings, the horrified snatches. "Uhlans, babies, sabres, massacre, murder." Wildfire rumours of Prussian Uhlans on horseback, vicious killings of babies and children circulated among the grown-ups in the shed. I pictured garish cartoon strips. Avoiding the danger of being swamped, the remaining rescue ships rode at anchor in the middle of the harbour with their companion ladders pulled up. They drew alongside for only as long as it took to load their cargo and haul anchor. It was late afternoon by the time a grey destroyer of the Royal Navy steamed into view. "Rose family," the megaphone blasted. In orderly fashion, we took our places on the crowded gangplank. We'd just stepped on board when I heard Father say, "Mother, take the children," and pushing his way back against the tide of people making their way along the deck, was gone.
"Get right back here, away from the railing, Hugh."
but I was searching for Father.
"Father! Father, don't go! Mother, he's left us! He's gone to war!" I called, my stomach heavy as if I had swallowed stones.
"He's just helping. He'll find us later." Mother put her hand on my shoulder. Struggling with our packages, we followed her along the deck, clambering cautiously up the slippery metal companion ladders in search of a sheltered spot. Mother settled us against a bulkhead on the upper deck behind a life raft where we were protected from the strong headwinds. We sat huddled, close, quiet. The sun was low, the shadows long.
"Who is calling, Mother?"
Tragic pleas of those left behind followed us over the water. My sisters clapped their hands over their ears. Mother said to look up at the sky. She moved between us and the rails.
"Keep looking up. Take deep breaths. Don't look down at the water, and you won't be seasick."
Mother lied to protect us from sights too awful to imagine, playing out in the harbor's foaming seas. Then, suddenly, silence. The only sound, the shhing, salty sea. The stones heavy in my stomach seesawed with the swell. Still no sign of Father. Scanning the fast, receding, empty quayside, a sickening fear gripped me. We had sailed without him. All at once there he was, striding toward us, along the deck. My belly stones stilled, and I sunk to the deck. I wanted Mother. Squishing close to her side, I glared at the gurgling impostor in her arms. Mother patted a place on the wooden deck.
"Come, Hughie boy, here."
Leaning against Mother's free arm, I smiled and settled back. I walked my fingers across Mother's corseted stomach, stay by whalebone stay. I stroked Kath's pudgy hand and smiled at my baby sister. There was room for both of us. The rising, falling, rolling lulled me. Images of mysterious Uhlans running bayonets through helpless babies and children peopled my dreaming, and Father, too, brandishing his sword, saving us. Then Mother was shaking my shoulders.
"Look, children, look, the white cliffs of Dover!"
A spontaneous cheer went up, and our fellow refugees, crowding the deck, smiled and nodded to each other without ever having been introduced. "Hurrah for merry old England!" they cried. "Blighty, what a blessed sight for poor eyes!" Britain welcomed us to its shores with a sweet, milky British cure-all, a cup of char. A veritable army of stalwart women volunteers pressed their mugs of comfort into our hands.
"Welcome home, welcome home!"
And so we were, home.